Victor Van Bergen sat at a table inside the Wagon Wheel Saloon in Cortez, Colorado Territory. He and his men rode to town from their hideout at Gypsum Gap to buy staples and more whiskey for the cold nights ahead. It was already dark and snow was falling. Fitting, given the rough trip Vic and his men had made across the eastern edge of the Badlands.
Let's stay the night in town.
Ford Peters, a former Confederate cavalryman who served time with Bloody Bill Anderson's raiders during the war, was considering the rough ride back to their hideout.
It'll be a hell of a cold ride back to Gypsum Gap in this snow. Hell, this is March. I can't figure why it's still snowing this time of year. A man could get to where he don't like this cold country. To tell the truth, Vic, I ain't taking much of a shine to it.
Ned told us to wait for him at the old mining town, and that's damn sure what we're gonna do. Ned's real smart when it comes to these things. He's been in more tight spots than all of us put together. He knows what to do when things get tough.
Oh, it's just so damn cold.
Vernon Jenkins, a killer from Alabama, pitched in.
It's too damn cold to be riding a horse, Vic. Ned and his bunch will take care of Morgan if Charlie Bowers didn't get him on our back trail, and that'll be the end of it. I say we stay here where it's warm, where there's plenty of women and whiskey and decent food. I'm tired of the crap Larry fixes us. I've never seen so many damn beans in my life. Larry can't cook worse shit if you ask me.
Vic was about to put both men in their places when the front doors to the Wagon Wheel opened. A man in a duster coat, a derby hat, and lace-up shoes came in with snow dusting his shoulders and his hat brim.
Could that be the law? Like a federal marshal or a goddamn Pinkerton detective or something?
Ford let his right hand drop below the tabletop near the butt of his pistol.
He ain't armed.
Vic watched the newcomer pull off his coat.
You're too damn edgy tonight, Ford. Have another drink of whiskey. I've never seen you so goddamn jumpy before, for no reason.
But when the stranger in the derby spotted Vic, Ford, and Vern seated at the table, he made straight for them with his duster over his arm. He sported a Van Dyke beard with a touch of gray in his sideburns.
Excuse me, gentlemen. My name is Louis Pettigrew. I'm a reporter, a writer from Boston. I wondered if you might be able to tell me where I can find a gunfighter, a man by the name of Frank Morgan.
What the hell is a reporter from up in Boston doing looking for old Frank Morgan?
He's a famous man, a shootist, or a pistolman, as they call them in Missouri. I saw him once. I wanted an interview with him, to find out if all the stories about him are true. I was told he was in this area now.
I think he's dead.
Pettigrew shook his head.
I just spoke with a city marshal over in Durango, a man by the name of Dixon. He said Frank Morgan is very much alive. He's off on some quest to save his estranged son, a young man he's only seen once or twice since the boy was born. I took notes. The boy's mother was killed some time ago.
Vic gave Ford and Vern a sideways look.
I don't think that marshal knows what he's talking about. We heard it on good authority that Morgan was killed south of here. Somebody shot him and nobody knows who done it.
Oh, my Lord.
Pettigrew sighed, dusting snowflakes from the brim of his bowler.
I suppose I've arrived too late. I really wanted to hear Mr. Morgan's story. He's known as one of the last gunfighters in the West.
I think his reputation was bigger than he was.
Oh, not according to my sources. I've checked the records. Morgan killed more than 40 men. That puts him in the same category as that boy madman from Texas, John Wesley Hardin. Hardin is in prison now, studying law. He won't grant any interviews. Frank Morgan is said to be the last of the old-time gunslingers. I wanted to write his life story.
Well, Morgan wasn't much. I knew him.
He wasn't much? What do you mean by that remark?
He weren't nothing but a back shooter, a bushwhacker. I never met anybody who saw him go face-to-face with a real gunman who knew his business.
Interesting. Can you tell me more about him?
He was a lowlife, a hired assassin. He never cared how he killed a man. He wasn't honorable. You just as soon shoot a man in the back as sneeze.
Well, that doesn't fit with what others have told me about him.
Like I told you, I knew the sorry son of a bitch. He was no good, and he deserved to be planted in the ground. One thing's for sure, he damn sure weren't no gunfighter.
Would you be willing to give me some details regarding his life? I'll gladly pay you for your time. My paper, the Boston Globe, will reimburse me. If Morgan is dead, as you say, then you may be the only source I have to set the record straight.
Ford gave Vic a sideways look.
Well, I'll tell you plenty about him, Mr. Pettigrew. Only you're wrong about him being a famous gunslinger. He was just an ordinary man with no courage. He shot most of his victims in the back. How much will you pay me to tell you about him?
But I've heard so many stories. I think my newspaper will go as high as $25 for the facts surrounding Morgan's reputation.
Mostly bullshit.
Vern gave Ford a wink and a half smile.
His reputation as a gunslinger was mostly bullshit. A bunch of half-truths. Every time some son of a bitch tells a story, it gets bigger.
May I join you at your table? I'll pay for a round of drinks.
Take a seat. I'm about to tell you the truth about Frank Morgan. Only I don't think you're going to like what I have to say, since you think he was so old-fired famous as a gunman. But first off, let me see the color of your money. Put the $25 down on the table, or I won't say another word.
Pettigrew pulled back a chair, reaching into his pants pocket. He took 25 silver dollars and placed them on the table in front of Ford.
All I want is the truth.
You're about to hear the truth about Frank Morgan. It's mostly a pack of lies what folks say about him. He was yellow all the way through. He never braced a man in a contest at the draw. I know that for an honest fact.
My editor will be disappointed.
Pettigrew took a pad and pencil from his coat.
However, my story must be accurate, down to the last detail. First of all, please give me your name as my source.
I'm Ford Peters.
And what is your profession, Mr. Peters?
Vern turned to a window to hide the mirth on his face.
I'm a cattleman by trade. How about that round of drinks?
Pettigrew finished his notations, then turned toward the bar and waved his hand in the air.
Drinks all around!
Vic knew Ford would fill the newsman's ears with falsehoods and outright lies. He laughed inwardly. It was a way to spend a snowy evening in the Badlands of Colorado Territory, filling the reporter's head with fanciful notions. There would be no one to refute Ford's accounts of Frank Morgan's exploits. Vic was certain Morgan was dead by now, with Charles Bowers lying in ambush for him on the trail up from Durango. Morgan was an old man, well past his prime. Charlie was as good as they come at putting men in their graves. He never made a mistake. Not Charles. Frank Morgan was a dead man by now.
He made a name for himself down in Texas, but he's ridden all over the Western Territories. He wears a brace of pistols. His favorite weapon is a Colt Peacemaker 45 and a 44-40 saddle gun. Like I told you before, he's a back shooter, so a rifle is what he uses most. He can shoot a man from 300 yards away without ever having to show himself.
I've heard dozens of stories about his quick draw.
Pack of lies! He's slow on the draw, and he won't face a good gunman in a showdown. I'd say he's a man who knows his limitations.
How well do you know him?
Oh, we were close. Nearly like brothers right after the war. He was a small-time thief. Frank was yellow when it came down to cases. He'd rob an unarmed man or steal cattle and horses from some poor farmer when he was dead sure he had the advantage.
That doesn't sound like the same man I've been told about. In some parts of the country, Frank Morgan's gunmanship is almost legendary.
It's bullshit!
How can so many other people be wrong?
Well, they didn't know him the way I did.
How did you come to know Morgan so well?
Lewis poised his pencil over his pad. Vic wondered how Ford would answer this question, since Ford only knew Morgan by reputation. A balding barkeep brought over three glasses of whiskey on a tray.
And what's for you, sir?
Brandy.
We ain't got no brandy. Red wine's all we got. Unless you want this here whiskey.
I'll have the whiskey.
The barman put their drinks down. Vic tried to hide a smile, for the arrival of their drinks would give Ford Peters enough time to come up with some sort of answer to the newspaper man's question, how it was he knew Frank Morgan when he didn't know him at all.
Like I was about to say, I knew Frank down in Texas.
He tossed back his drink.
Morgan was a hired gun, only he wasn't much good at it.
He wasn't as good as his reputation?
He went up against Shorty Russell down in Brownwood. Shorty wasn't any great shakes as a gunman. Shorty drew first and put a lead slug through Morgan's shoulder. But old Frank was lucky that day. As he was falling to the ground, he got off a lucky shot into Shorty's chest. Shorty fell dead in his tracks. That's how Morgan started his reputation. I was there, and I saw the whole thing.
Pettigrew was writing furiously to keep up with Ford's wild tale.
So, that's what started Frank's rep as a gunfighter. He shot a man whose aim was bad. But Frank was slow. Too damn slow to keep that slug from going through his right shoulder.
My goodness. It would appear Mr. Morgan is something of a fraud. He was something of a fraud, if, as you say, he's dead.
He's damn sure dead. If you'll buy us another round of drinks, Mr. Pettigrew, I'll tell you what I know about Frank Morgan.
The writer's drink hit the table just as Vic was saying this. Pettigrew looked up from his notepad.
Bring these gentlemen another round.
Vic planned to invent his own story about Morgan, something to keep the Easterner buying whiskey well into the night.
You also knew Morgan?
Not as well as Ford, but I saw him go up against this paid shootist down in Abilene. I'll tell you about it as soon as I'm done quenching my thirst.
I know it's you, Morgan! If you fire one more shot, I'll blow the kid's goddamn skull all over Lost Pine Canyon and leave him for the wolves!
Pine edged out the front door of the cabin with his pistol under Conrad's chin.
My men are gonna saddle our horses!
Pine held a fistful of Conrad's hair in his left hand.
One more gunshot and I'll blow your son's head off!
Only silence filled the canyon after the echo of Ned's voice died.
You hear me, Morgan?
More silence. Only the whisper of snow falling on ponderosa pine limbs.
Answer me, you son of a bitch!
The quiet around Ned was absolute. He squirmed a little, but held his Colt under Conrad's jawbone with the hammer cocked.
I'll kill this wimpy little bastard!
Ned warned what seemed like an empty forest. Morgan did not reply.
Whoever you got shooting from up on the rim, you'd best tell that son of a bitch I mean business! If he fires one shot, I'll kill your boy!
Conrad Browning had tears streaming down his pale face, and his legs were trembling. A dark purple bruise decorated one of his cheeks. Ned looked over his shoulder at the cabin door to Slade and Lyle.
You and Rich and Cabot, get out there and saddle the best horses. Tell Billy Miller to keep his gun sights on the back.
He ain't gonna shoot us?
Hell no, we ain't.
What makes you so all fired sure?
Because I've got a gun at this boy's throat. He came all this way to save him. Morgan knows even if he shoots me, I'll kill this kid as I'm going down. Now get those goddamn horses saddled.
Billy Miller, a boy from Nebraska who killed a storekeeper to get a few plugs of tobacco, saw movement.
I see somebody up top.
Kill the son of a bitch!
He's gone now, but I seen him.
Damn.